Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at Geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
All right, let's get into it. Welcome, peeps, to another episode of Daddy Issues. We are the dads. we're back. Still on the quarantine tip. Everybody's in their respective houses. And we out here. You know what I'm saying? How was that homework you just did, Kia?
I didn't even finish it. I got to finish his... She sent it late. The teacher sent his assignment. So I did his regular routine stuff, and then I was waiting on that assignment. She sent it, but then I was like, oh, we'll take a break, and then I'll come back and finish it. The thing about the quarantine is it's not like we on no tight schedule.
Right.
So she sent it late. I was like, all right, well, you know, it ain't like you got to be done by 12:30 like normal school hours. So we'll do it after I'm done. Finish that up and wrap. They were just so loud this morning. My God.
Did they have waffles this morning?
Of course. Of course. They getting so ridiculous with this food. Like, the waffles, fine. Because what we'll do is we'll make... You know, we'll put the waffles in the, you know, everything in the waffle maker. We'll make the waffles. We'll make a bunch so they can have them for the next, like, 2 days, 2-3 days. But they getting spoiled on everything from scratch tip. Like, now, over the weekend, I got on the grill, made some burgers. I was like, yo, we're going to have some homemade fries. So I made fries. You know, deep fried regular, you know, fries. Now, every day, Dad, I want fries, like, real fries. And I'm like, you want waffles from scratch? You want french fries from scratch? You want, they just want everything. And I'm just like, y'all spoiled. But I'm so cheap that I'll just make it because it's just cheaper to buy a sack of potatoes than the frozen fries. Right. And it's healthier and it's safer. I know it. If I'm making it myself, it's just better.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, all right, whatever. I don't mind. But what else I got to do?
Right.
Every time I'm about to complain or something, I'll be like, what else do I have to do?
There's nothing else.
I have nothing else to do. Even with this internet stuff, I was telling Keenan yesterday, like, the amount of effort I've been putting into internet, social media, all that stuff, I've never put this much effort into it. And yesterday I spent like 2 hours just going through responses and commenting, saying thank you to everybody, whatever, whatever, whatever. And then I was like, what else I got to do? What else do I have to do? Mm-hmm. I had nothing else to do. So I've been doing that. But yeah, the boys this morning, they were just really loud. And I felt bad because, like, I tell them, like, stop. Hey, guys, can you stop yelling? Stop yelling. And after, like, an hour and a half of them screaming, like, the high-pitched kid scream, I was like, yo, stop yelling. And their faces was like, and immediately I gave them a hug. I was like, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to yell. But I've just been asking y'all to keep it down. So, you know, I seen the, like, tears well up in their eyes. And I was like, forget about it. It's not a big deal. You know, I'm just asking you to stop. I felt so bad instantly, but it was just like, yo.
Like, they were in the room making all that noise in the living room?
They was in the living room, so I went in another room. They followed me in there. Then I went, I was trying to let them live their life. I was trying to let them, because I was like, I don't want to be the hater. I understand they kids, they just playing. You know what I mean? I'm going to let them play. I ain't going to be the hater. And they just got to, it was, when they did a final piercing scream, and I was like, yo. And they were like, and I was like, I didn't mean to yell, man, but it's just like, I've asked you guys for an hour and a half to stop yelling.
It's funny when kids, they don't necessarily include you, but they just want to be where you're at,
yeah,
doing their thing. They're like, Dad's right here, we over here. And then when you leave, they'll be like, yeah, Dad's over here now. And now they don't need you for nothing. No. They just need you right there.
No, I was not included in any of the games. They just wanted to play around me.
That's funny.
Loudly. And I was just like,
but I can get the high pitch, man. It'd be that one.
Woo.
You'd be, because parents usually, we can take noise for a long time, especially, you know, you get used to it. You're just like, all right, they doing their thing. I'm watching stuff with the subtitles on. I'm just like, all right. But then it just be those piercers that just be like, hey, come on.
And then I did a few pierces already. And that final one, I was just like, yo. And they both were standing next to each other, like the fear and panic. Like, I felt bad instantly. I immediately was like, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to yell. I gave them a hug. Like, I saw, I was like, don't cry. Like, I'm just, and I tried to talk real calm. I was like, Daddy just asked you so many times to stop yelling. Play all you want. Just stop screaming like this.
I don't know why kids scream. It's like, me and Sabrina always have this ongoing joke, because every time we walk past a school or anything with kids playing, there's always a scream.
The highest.
It's just this one scream,
yeah.
And it sounds like the same scream every time, no matter what. We just hear, just every time you hear a group of kids, you hear a scream.
I don't know what that is. I don't know why.
It's like pre-recorded for every kid gathering. Anytime. I challenge anybody that's listening to this. Next time you walk past a school, you'll hear a scream, guaranteed.
And I already know what screen you're talking about, because it's the same screen.
Yeah,
it's the same screen. You hear a playground. You hear the laughter, and you hear, and then it's just this high pitch over the top of everything else. And it's like, who's doing this and why?
Every time.
Boy, girl, don't matter. It's the same. And like that outside, it's in the house, that scream is just so much more.
It's amplified. Just
so much more. And I was like, I don't want to be the guy to kill the fun for this, like, shush, dude.
Hush. Kids. Hush.
Man.
And it's funny because, like, when I was playing, I never screamed like that. And I don't remember hearing a scream like that with the kids I played with. The scream is always in the distance, where you're unable to pinpoint the exact source of the scream. Because I'm thinking about me as a kid, recess, playing. I'm sure we was screaming, but I felt like,
I'm saying we had to do it, but I don't remember doing it.
I don't ever remember doing it. I know I screamed on the merry-go-round, because the merry-go-round, man, when you hanging on for dear life, we were screaming.
Yeah.
I remember that, because I remember I looked into Charles Heath's mouth. Me and him were both holding on for dear life, and he was eating a cupcake, and like he was screaming, and he just had all the cupcake particles in there, and I was just like, and I was just focused on something while my life was on the line. I was like, I'll never forget that. With mad cupcakes in there. Right before I got sucked off the merry-go-round, I was out of there. But man.
Like, I definitely remember being loud. But the high high-pitched scream,
mm-hmm.
I don't remember doing. Like, and I wonder if it's an age thing. I wonder if it's I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Because I don't hear it when I walk past a high school. It's just that.
Well, they're
not
at recess.
Well, no, when I see like a group of high schoolers getting out of class or whatever they're doing, I never see it. Or even like on the track and field, I just never hear that noise. It's usually like the younger kids where I start to hear the scream.
That scream, man, it's just
every time though. It never fails.
But it showed me my growth as a parent. Because like, I screamed or whatever, but immediately I was like, sorry. You know, like normally, like, or not normally, but before I might have did that and just be like, be quiet. And then that's it. Yeah. Like with no actions for my actions. You know?
Right.
But then I was like, no, you know, I don't need to be doing that. Y'all just kids. I caught myself immediately, which when before I would have just been like, and that's the end of it.
Yeah.
But I was like, nah, you know, Sorry, guys.
I always feel bad. I always feel bad for like blowing up on the kids. I feel like I didn't do it too often, but I would feel bad immediately. Like, but sometimes, like, you know, it was warranted, but I was just you know, you try to give that olive branch. And it's funny because, like, you know, when the parents used to yell at us, I could tell they felt that remorse too. They never really, like, sat in it and was just like, hush! And then it was nothing after that. Just people like, they come in there. I made you some waffles.
Yeah, okay. Always food after. I remember getting beat. I got beat by my granny. My grandpa had told us, stop playing in my closet. You guys keep playing. You're ripping all the clothes down. And we kept going in that closet. And finally, he had enough. And they beat the hell out of us. And then after the whooping, granny came in. And she was like, and it's lunch on the table. I was like, oh, okay. Like, after the once she said it was lunch on the table, I didn't care about that whooping no more. And I remember me and my cousin got mad at Keith because he kept crying. Like, after the whooping was over, we was already washing our hands for lunch. And he was crying. We was like, it's food coming. What you crying for? It's over. Let it go. Right. And he was still like, he's sniffling while we eating. We was like, it's a good time now. We got beat. That's in the past. Even though it just happened like a minute ago, we was like, that's in the past. We are eating this delicious lunch now. Shut up.
That's funny. Food does help, man.
Oh, absolutely.
Food is a nice olive branch to the kids. I made y'all this food in here, if y'all, you know what I'm saying.
That works with couples too, older couples. You get in a fight with your spouse, and then you're like, now dinner's on the table. All right. Like, what's the scene?
I might be quiet during the meal, but I'm gonna eat.
What's the scene in Lean on Me?
Oh, yeah.
Well, let's get something to eat.
Man, and he went, too. Yeah. He packed up his little briefcase. It was funny how many times in that movie Morgan Freeman packed up his paperwork. Because he packed up his stuff on that scene, and then he packed up when Michael Beach went off on him when he had to suspend him.
Yeah.
And he was like... When he flipped the desk over, it was like, oh, the documents. Because that whole time, Morgan Freeman was moving his paperwork around. He slammed the paperwork. He was like, you will give me the respect I goddamn deserve. I will kick your black ass. He was like, I've had enough. I feel like Morgan Freeman hasn't been in a role that fiery since. Where he was that, like... On 10.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. I don't think. Everything else is pretty calm.
Yeah, I feel like he's been calm ever since Joe Clark.
He's old.
But he been old.
That's true. He came in the game at 63.
He blew up old.
You know what I liked in that movie? When he brought the teacher back? The teacher still was like, I should have never been fired in the first place. Like, he wasn't like, thank you. He was still like, hey, man. I'm not here for the bullshit.
Yeah, because he wasn't in the wrong at all.
He wasn't.
So it was just like, yeah. Like, thanks, but I ain't deserve that anyway.
Exactly.
You ain't doing me no favors. Speaking of favors, ain't got nothing to do with favors. What's going on, Mike?
Hello, everybody. So this is for kids.
CNN today. Live here at the.
I was kind of spacing out a little bit. This is for kids under the age of 10. What do you think is the hardest life skill, in your opinion, to teach kids under the age of 10?
Hardest life skill.
Just like, you know, eating with a fork, swimming.
That's easy work. That's easy.
Riding a bike, things like that.
Those things are all easy. Probably coping with life.
Well, no. Swimming is kind of tough because, in my opinion, with swimming, because you can have a moment in that water that can traumatize you long term. So that'll mess up your whole growth on the learning how to swim, because you got the fear element. Like with me, for example, We used to go swimming like all the time, and then it was like one moment where my mom dunked me in the water, and I didn't expect it. And it went all in my nose, and I started panicking. And it was like, before that, I had no fear of the water, none of that. And so that stuck with me for a long time. And then I had another incident in the swimming class where I almost drowned because I started panicking. And then I was scared of the water for years after that. And then I fully learned how to swim in like 2004.
That's late.
That's when I was finally like, because that fear had me. I was just like, I'll get in, but I ain't really doing nothing extra on the deep end. And then when I took the final class, I was like, all right, I'm good now. But so you can have moments like that that can really, and even though my mom did nothing traumatic, she didn't even throw me in. It was just like a dunk in while she was talking to her friends, and I was completely just caught off guard. I was like, everything went in, up the nose, in the mouth.
And I was just like, man.
So, you know, so I think swimming can be tougher than like bike riding or eating with a fork or even cooking, like, you know, because you got that extra element. Because big bodies of water is just scary to a lot of people. So I would go with swimming, probably.
You're going to go with swimming? Keon, what do you think? Yeah.
You said life skills?
Yeah.
I feel like, I guess when I think about life skills, that stuff is like, you know, we'll get that. I think the hardest thing for under 10 is trying to prepare them for how the world works. Mm-hmm. Like prepping with, especially us raising black boys. Like that's probably trying to get them to understand how life's going to be for you without, you know, making you fearful, mm-hmm. Without making you, you know, skittish or, you know, scared everything or whatever. And also not, you know, trying to turn you into a bigot yourself, but like, just that. Like, hey man, this is how it's going to be. And that's raising, you know, black father to son and going down. That's probably something that we're, you know, we have to do every generation. And it's no way to really do it. And then they have their first experience and then it's like, all right, you know, this is how things work.
And what's real tough about that too is like, you know, you show your kids, black kids, black boys, you show them how the world works and the history of America and like racism. And then you have to walk that tight rope of them not holding grudges against, you know, the people that treat us a certain way. So it's just like, yeah, this is what it is. And they be like, oh, I hate the whites, you know, because that can that come happens. From seeing that, you know. So it's like you gotta be like, but no, you know, not everybody's like that. We'll prove it. And, you know, that can come with that. And so it's hard to, you know, like with my kids, you know, they've always had like a racially mixed group of friends. You know, we live in Burbank, so that's just going to come with the territory. So Sincere definitely has that super diverse group of friends. You got black kid in there, Asians, white, Hispanic, you know, and they all just like a crew. And I was like, look at this, the United Nations over here. And then Serene, I noticed that he pretty much gravitated towards black mostly, like, you know, even his group of friends is mixed and like stuff like that. And so, but that's because as parents we were just like, you know, this is how it is out here, but this isn't how everybody is. So, you know, and they see how we interact with everybody, and I think that's important, man, because kids learn more than anything just watching how the parents do and how they talk. And like, they never hear us talk like, oh, white people is trash, this people are this people. They never hear that from us. But what they do hear is like, yeah, we black, we proud to be black, but you know, that doesn't define everything. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's just no prep for it. That's the only thing that sucked.
Yeah.
Like, I wasn't really tripping off race like that until middle school. And then something happened with like a white kid and a black kid, and you just, everybody's natural just instinct, whatever, kicked in. And it was like a huge divide in the school. And then like, I noticed, I just started hanging out way more to black kids.
After that incident?
No, it was already kind of happening anyway, just because you gravitate to people who are like you. Mm-hmm. But then I remember that it was really like, I was like, all right, I'm cool. I'm good. And then I remember my first run in with the police and then like stuff like that. I was just like, all right. And my dad was already on the hype, like, because he's from South Central L.A. So his experience with white cops and all that was just, he don't mess with them. So he was already on the hype. I was like, man, these white people, you know what I mean? And then but we raised in the suburbs. So he's also like, well, you know, I think my folks did a good job of the best of both worlds. Like, we were raised in the suburbs, but we spent all our summers in like South Central. And then we did all our sports in like the hood areas. And then like, it was just a good balance of seeing how everything works. Because, like, some people be like, oh, I'm only raise my kids in this area. Well, now you're scared of this area. Or I only raise in this. Now you don't know about this area. And just, like, just trying to prep them for the entire world and all different kinds of walks of life and stuff like that. That's the part that I think is probably the most difficult, especially raising a black kid. Because that's just something that probably, honestly, white kids don't really have to worry about.
Well, they did these people called PACE, which stands for the Professional Association of Children in Early Years. They asked parents of all races, what was the hardest life skill to teach your kids? They asked 2,000 parents. And the number one thing is tying their shoe.
What?
Teaching the kids to tie the shoe is the hardest thing that 2,000 parents said was to teach their children.
Under 10?
That didn't even come up for me. It didn't cross my mind.
This is what makes me laugh, too. Like, that's why we need podcasts like this. We're black fathers and didn't even think about no damn tying the shoe because we got all this other stuff to worry about. Like, when you are a black parent, it's like tying the shoe. What?
Well, how long did it take to teach your kid to tie his shoe?
Mine, I don't think Keon's there yet.
Mine's not there yet. No.
Yeah.
But I remember
for me,
it was easy.
It doesn't even register.
Yeah.
It just, you know, I think they picked up on it pretty fast. I'm sure it was like frustrating and they had to get it down pat and they were just doing the makeshift tie. But it didn't stick with me enough to be like, man, teaching the kids to tie shoes.
Yeah, I'm surprised at that.
I don't even remember it.
There's two ways. There's the bunny ears and then you put them together, or there's the loop through, which I think most adults do.
But what he's saying is he don't even remember like that being one of the struggles of parenting. Like they just learn how to tie their damn shoe. Like for that to be the number one thing, it just makes me laugh, honestly. Like that's what you remember out of all the things you had to teach your kid in life, tying his shoe. That's when I can't take this anymore. The goddamn tying of the shoe. Like that's what's stuck in your head.
I didn't even
cross my mind.
Well, I don't think it wouldn't cross Keon's because he hasn't been there yet.
Yeah.
But for me, it didn't cross my mind.
Yeah.
No. Do you know what the second one was?
What?
Whistling.
Oh, all right. We're just talking about basic stuff.
Where are these 2,000 people from?
A lot of them are in the UK.
What do they mean by life skills?
Yeah, I don't.
That's a life. Tie your shoes, set the table, clean up after.
But who gives a shit about whistling? Like, why is that number? Like, of all the things.
That's not a real life skill.
Make sure that my kids know how to whistle.
That's not a life skill that you need to tie your shoe. Yeah.
But
tie your shoe. Whistling?
Like, how was that number two? Who are these people?
If you can't whistle, you'll be fine in life.
Yeah.
Yeah, I still can't whistle. I never learned. I couldn't pick it up.
Yeah, and
you're
cares?
Fine.
Yeah,
that hasn't affected me at all. Unless I want to call to someone.
If you never learn how to tie your shoe, I'd be clowning you. Like, what's Maya doing with the Velcro?
Because
you already wear some horrible sneakers. And then if you would have had the Velcro joints, the mentally disabled sevens, I'd been like,
Maya's out here. You can't teach the mentally disabled, or hard for some mentally disabled to learn to tie their shoe. So it is hard.
Well, we get that.
I'm not saying it's easy, but it's not like
of all the life skills, and then for whistling to be number two, I just don't understand how that was even on the board.
What else is on this list?
Yeah, what's the top five?
Riding the bike.
Okay.
Okay. All
learning
right.
how to swim.
Okay.
Okay.
That's up there. Helping to cook.
Okay.
Okay.
And setting the table.
Okay.
All right. Everything else was legit.
That whistling, but the whistling though, how was that number
is
two?
Bullshit.
Because it's hard to learn. It's hard to teach you. Put your lips together and blow. That's not like, it's not, I mean, easy.
Like, but like, who cares? That's why I'm like, why is that on there? Like, of all the things, I got to make sure. Like, I see a parent sitting their kid down. If you don't do nothing else in life, right, you make sure you know how to whistle. Like, that. You've never seen that in a movie. Seen that on a 90 sitcom. Nothing.
Did you
imagine an episode dedicated to whistling?
And it ranked higher than bike riding.
Yeah.
It ranked higher than swimming, cooking, setting the table.
It's the average. Sometimes averages are weird. They ask 2,000 people, and this is what comes up. Whistling and tying your shoe.
All those kids are going to fail in life.
There is one island in Greece. They have a whistle language because it's like mountainous. It's not that many people live there anymore. It's a kind of like small island. But they have a native language that's whistling. They whistle to each other across the mountains.
Well, did they
like
poll
birds.
The people in Greece? If they didn't poll the people in Greece, I don't know why this is on there. Them people, they're like,
that's
yeah,
a life
you
skill.
Exactly. If you can't whistle there, you fall off the mountain and you die. But in regular UK, why is whistling on the list?
I gotta ask our viewers in the UK, like, how highly whistling ranks in life skills. I guess it's high.
What if they're all like traumatized? Like, oh, growing up as a kid, it was serious. If you couldn't whistle, they'd beat you. You couldn't get dinner. It was terrible.
Hey man, I didn't do the study.
What else you got going over there?
Okay, there was another study, and so this is going to be controversial for a lot of people.
Oh,
but
yes.
Before I give the answer, I want to ask you guys, do people change?
Some people, yeah.
Like their temperament. It's basically referring to temperament. Do people's temperaments change? Like you're kind of like your base personality, who you are.
I don't know if that changes, but I know you can make changes knowing who you are. If that makes sense. You feel me? Like, if you know I'm quick to anger, somebody might work on being quick to anger. They still got that temper, but they've worked on handling that temper. So I don't know if your makeup of your being changes, but you can course correct or you know, fix whatever you think you need to work on.
I agree with that. Yeah, definitely. Tony, what do you think? Do people change?
Yeah. I think at the base, we don't. But you can be cognizant of what you do. You know, you work on it, but your core, like, reaction and being and how you are, everybody that I know hasn't really changed.
Yeah.
In terms of like that base, you know what I mean? If that's the question, then no, I don't think people change.
I do think people can work on themselves, and I do think people can, you know, counteract their natural instincts. Changing at the base, no. But I've seen growth in so many people that I know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So many people. But the actual change, no.
You're both correct. A study funded by the National Institute of Health and published in the Proceeding of the National Academy of Sciences find that infant behavior and temperament remain steady into young adulthood. So they followed all these kids from 4 months to 26 years old. And they were able to predict, based on their temperament as babies, how they were going to act at 26. And it's basically from one kind of temperament called behavioral inhibition. So that's like if a baby doesn't like new people and new things very much, those same ones that didn't like new people and new things as 4 months old, at 26, they were more likely to be reserved and less likely to be dating.
Oh, wow. That's a long study.
Yeah. Right. They had to study that for 26 years?
Well, they checked in. They followed them for about a year when they were babies. Yeah. They checked in when they were 15. And they see, okay, some people worked on themselves. You know, their parents encouraged them to go out more and be more active, more extroverted, and those ones were, you were somewhat normal by, you know, 26. I'm saying normal. Nothing wrong with being introverted. I'm very introverted. But they were able to keep like a normal life, have a boyfriend, a girlfriend, all these things. But the ones at 15 who didn't have that additional parenting pushing them out there when they were 26, they were more likely to be very introverted and keep to themselves. Is that crazy?
That's wild business right there.
I don't think it's crazy, though. I get it. Like, I get, you know, people, you talk to parents, they be like, man, you've been like that since you was three. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just how people be. I just think some people, you know, work on stuff and some don't. Like, I'm never not going to be easily irritated. It's just my reaction to it. That's never not going to happen. But I can control my reactions to things.
Tony, have your boys changed since they were babies?
No, not really. Like that, and that's why I was just like, because I, you know, once you watch people grow from scratch to see how they turn out, it's like I can honestly sit here and say that, you know, Sincere has always been like, you know, doing his own thing. You know, he's always been like, when he was a baby, he would cry to be put in the bed, as opposed to, you know, some kids cry when you tell them to go to bed, or when you put them in the bed and leave, they cry. He was like, please, just put me in the bed and just leave me alone in there. And he's just like, good to go. Serene he was always a bit more social, and he still is. Sincere is social too, but it's just like, you know, he's not really as outgoing initially with like new people. But then once he gets to know you, he's just like, yeah, you know, chill. But it's definitely like, you know, how they were, it remained all the way throughout. Serene was more of a crier, like he cried. So he's more of like the emotional guy in the group, and he still is. So it's just like, wow, ain't nothing really changed here. And it's just weird to see that, you know, it's like, man, all the way throughout.
Do you think it's not fair that America seems to value extroversion so much when people are obviously born introverts? It's not fair to them, right? Because they're born that way. How are you going to say you're not allowed to be an introvert?
I don't even know how much I believe in introverts anymore after this quarantine business. All these people that claim they were introverts was begging to go outside and be around people 2 days in. I was like, oh, what happened to you? I don't like people. I want to be... And then now, they was the main ones. Oh, I got to get around. I want to be out. I'm like, what happened, introvert?
I don't know. I know some introverts I haven't seen in months. I haven't seen them. I haven't heard from them.
They probably love it. They probably introverts. Real introverts, yeah. Then I think you got some people who are introverts, but can still, when they comfortable with people, still let it out. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, there's some people that they are quiet until it's in their core group or whatever, and then they the life of the party.
Mm-hmm. That's Sabrina right there. Like, she'll be quiet. If it's like a big group, she just be chilling. You know what
I don't
saying?
Even be knowing Sabrina in the room half the time.
Man, but when it's just like a few people, like if it's just me or like, you know, people that she's known for a long time, she be chopping it up and doing dancing and just be like, okay. Me, like, I'm fine either way. Yeah. Like, I could be in a cave for 6 months or I could be on the streets for 6 months. It's just like, all right, whatever. But I do know that, you know, people just get on my nerves. Sometimes I just need to be like, hey, can you just leave me alone for a second? And I don't feel the need to always have to talk. I'm perfectly fine just sitting there in silence and not feeling the need to be like, so, I'm just like, just hush. It's fine.
Yeah, I get it. Because me and Tony are similar in that way. Because like people would be like, Kakati family would be like, he don't talk or he don't like us. He's quiet. And it's like, I'm not quiet. It's just, I don't need to be. Like,
right.
I can do that. If we turn up, we turn up. But at the same time, mm-hmm. I don't mind being left alone and by myself and chilling. That's fine. I can do either way. Either way works.
And y'all have always been like that? So your parents say you were like that since you were baby?
The only person I've ever seen from baby to, you know, now outside of my kids is my brother. We're only 16 months apart. So my brother, I watched him grow up. But who he is now is who he always has been. Like, he's always been, you know, but he's one of those, he can play video games for 48 hours straight. But also, we go into a party at midnight. He'd be like, well, let's go. And he's in it. So, but like, even as a kid, he would be like, he could go in his room, close the door, and play his imaginary toys for hours. But if the whole neighborhood was outside, he was like, all right, I'm in. We'll be playing.
He sounds like me. Balls.
And like, he was always like, you know, he works on computers now for a living. As a kid, he was always tinkering with the remote, like doing like everything he did as a kid, he do now. And like for me, I was like sports, extroverted, out. And then that's what I did my whole life, was just crack jokes and play sports. And then I had my times where I wanted to be by myself, just watch TV, watch my shows, not be bothered. And other times where I was like, yeah, let's center of attention.
And
I will say this about myself, though. I've changed, you know, not, my basic core is still the same, but like I have changed in terms of, I used to be shyer as a kid than I am now. I'm still a little shy, but not as much. So I really fought through that shyness. And then like trying to figure out like, really what I wanted to do with my life, you know, that took, you know, because the people that knew me, they could probably see in me like, yo, Tony's funny. He'll be, you know, a star or whatever. But I'm like, no, I gotta, you know, I'm gonna be a fireman, a teacher, a baseball player, just random stuff, trying to grab something off the shelf. But it was never like, you know, Tony was always performing. Like, nah, I'd be quiet in the corner, cracking jokes here and there in the corner. But, like, when I had to talk in front of the class, you would have never thought that I would be a comedian, you know, because I was sweating bullets and then getting up there like, oh, so, you know, fumbling, all that. So I've definitely changed in that regard. Like, I would have never thought I'd be a stand-up comedian.
I mean, it's a really interesting question. I would like to hear what other people think about their kids. If in the comment section, you let us know, have your children changed, especially if you have children that are in their 20s? Like, how different are they from the time that they came out? Because my brother tells us, he's like, the three of you have been the same since you came out. And I don't know if he meant it as an insult or what. Maybe he's much older than us. He's like, y'all just act the exact same, which is for some of us good and some of us not so good.
So you were doing acid at three?
No, I was thoughtful. My mom said I only cried twice in the first 6 months. She said, you were just chilling. If something was wrong, like my diaper hadn't been changed for like a long time, then I would cry. But twice in the first 6 months.
Did you have baby Asics on? Like the little baby?
Oh, I was comfortable.
You definitely had those big white shoes. I know you had those.
Why would you give a baby bottoms? Shoes?
I don't know. Babies don't
need shoes.
And big
They're
hard
babies.
Bottoms, white ones that babies used to wear. Them shoes is trash.
Babies don't need anything.
You know what I'm talking about?
Absolutely. The baby shoes with the hard, and they were hard.
So hard. Why are you putting kids
But they
in
were
there?
Hard. They were hard to help with the kids' balance and walking. They purposely made them like that, but they were hideous looking.
Ooh.
Yeah, I remember those shoes.
No, just put them in a cloth diaper and send them on their way. Some countries don't even put them in diapers. It's just, there you go. I had a perfectly fine way to raise a baby until they're like one, and then you got to...
Shit, you ever cleaned up poop and shit off of a floor?
We were going to do this, but you weren't here. The way they potty train people in different countries, because it completely changes. And I definitely think there's a Pamper conspiracy to keep American babies in diapers longer. But then you, for Sarah Keon, you were out for that week. So we're like, okay, we're going to do this in a week that he comes back. And then Corona came through. But a lot of places, they're potty training them at a few months old. Like the Chinese, they put them over the sink or whatever, and they just make a sound like, tss, tss, and they know to pee. In Kenya,
really?
Too. Yeah, we're going to have this whole thing. Because I'm like, this is a conspiracy. Because our kids are in diapers until they're like 2 and a half. And if you go back to like books of American parenting from the 1940s, they say the same thing. It's like you can put them over a sink and go, and they'll pee at 6 months.
I've never heard that. I wish somebody would have told me that. I would have tested it out. But then who got time for that?
It depends if you're in a village.
You know how often kids go to the bathroom?
Well, that's the thing, is they don't have to. They don't have to. They can hold it.
I don't think kids went, like, super often. Raising the boys, I don't remember them going to the bathroom crazy often.
Like, I watch how many times a day Keelan runs to go pee. Now that he's probably, he can take himself. So I just watch it. I'm like, I'm like when you a baby, when they babies, you only change their diaper. You just check it every once in a while. But like, I'm cognizant now of how much he goes to the bathroom. He stay running in there peeing. And I was just like, do that with a toddler, always checking, like, you got to pee, and they can't communicate. I would love to see this study. Not saying it's not real. I would just love to see it.
Oh, I wrote it up. We'll do it next week. But I just looked it up, and it says that most people pee between 6 and 8 times a day anyway. So you got to think about, in your waking hours, what's that, 16 waking hours? That's once every 2 hours. Seems like a lot, but really? I mean, how many is he peeing more than once every 2 hours?
No, probably not.
See, that's the average for adults. Once every 2 hours. And you just take the baby up every 2 hours, like, you have to pee. Kenya does it really interesting. So we'll do that next week. We'll go into the Pampers conspiracy.
I'm definitely interested in that.
Yeah, I'm into this. Because I'm thinking about, like, today, I woke up. I peed once today so far. I got up at, like, 9. So I get one pee down.
I think I'm, like, 3 in.
Yeah.
But I woke up at 7. So that's like 5 hours now. Plus, I've been guzzling water because I ain't ate breakfast, but I just been drinking water.
Man, I ain't eat nothing, but I'm ready.
Oh, you didn't eat anything? It says in WebMD that it's not abnormal to go as many as 10 times a day if you're drinking a lot of water.
Okay.
So once every hour and a half, if that's your peeing schedule, that's probably fine.
I'm going to count the peas today. I'm going to count that. I'm going to see how many peas I get in a day.
And some people, I had a friend, man, it was funny. This was way back in the day. And we had to hide out. This is me and like 2 other friends, like my girlfriend and then our friend who was a boy, but nothing like that. And we had to hide out in a bathroom for some reason. And he's like, I saw a toilet. I got to pee now. I'm like, what? And so we had to go and hide in the shower. Well, he took a pee because every time he sees a toilet, he has to take a pee.
That's strange.
You think that's strange? I didn't know that was strange.
Yeah, that's hella strange.
I mean, I got to pee just because I see the toilet?
No. Is that normal for some people?
No.
I've never heard of it.
I didn't walk by the toilet and never got the urge. I got to go right now.
I come in the bathroom all the time with no pee work. I go in there to brush my teeth, wash my face. I just go in the medicine cabinet. This is here.
People at home, is that weird? If you hear running water, do you have to pee then?
No. As much as I cook and do, I always doing stuff around water.
I've been leaving the water running too long. Like, I'll turn it on and then be like, all right, I'm going to let this sit. And then I forget and leave it on. And then Sabrina be like, yo, the water. Oh, yeah, you're right. But I never get the urge to pee. Now, I will say, if I already had to pee and the water's running, it does amp it up a little bit.
I tried to test that theory and it don't work. Like, I've tried to, like, okay, I got to pee. I want to see if, doing that, like, it don't work. The only thing that makes it worse for me is when you already got to pee and the closer you get into the bathroom. Or even if you got to take a dump.
Oh, my God.
And the closer you get in it, your body's like, hey, man, this is happening. I've always shit my pants many a times because of that. Like, I was fine until I entered the bathroom. And as soon as the body was like, we doing this now. And I'm like, it does not, I don't know why. But the water thing, it doesn't work for me.
I don't usually get the urge for number twos that diehard and detrimental.
No, I'm talking about when when you have the runs or when you have
the bubble guts.
Yeah, them emergency situations. And once you get in that bathroom, it's like, am I going to make it?
Last time I had that moment happen, it was a couple months ago, and I had to pee so bad. I was trying to get in the house. I just peed in the alley. I never made it. I had to pee in the alley. I was so close, but I just whipped it out. I was like, look, people driving by, they're just gonna have to bear witness because I could not make it. Because I was driving, I was like, yo, I'm gonna really pee on myself in this car, but I was able to make it to the alley.
Very interesting.
And them pees be long too.
Oh, I was in that alley for a long time. It was a river runs through it in that alley,
and then
man.
You can physically feel your bladder draining. You're just
It was fantastic. It was fantastic.
Did you have your hand on the wall? Or
man, it was like a pole right there in the little power line. Watching it run down into the community. I was like, I'm sorry, guys.
I hate when I pee outside in the stream. V lines back towards me. Like, just go that way. I was peeing that way.
No, I wanted to say one more thing.
You got one foot up in the air, like, hold on, wait a minute. I don't want the pee on my shoe. And I hate when the stream comes towards me. I'm like, I was peeing at an angle to avoid this stream coming towards me. And it's like, no, we wanna come back home. We wanna come back home.
We liked it in there, man. We coming back.
I don't know.
We got questions, man.
Yeah, we do have questions. James Gardner has a suggestion for Tony. He writes, Tony, have you looked up Meniere's disease? Meniere's? M-E-N-I-E-R-E-S. It's a French word, so accent marks going this way on the E's. Mm-hmm. It's an inner ear problem. Do you have sinus problems at all?
I did look that up. I looked up everything, man. I don't really, the thing about sinuses is sometimes you're not really aware that you have sinus issues. You just kind of like, all right, you know, it's always like, I feel like one nostril is more clogged than the other, but I thought that was like normal for everybody.
Well,
so I can't really,
so.
Yeah, so it's like, and sometimes it's more pronounced than other times. Like it's really clogged. And then it'll switch nostrils and you know. But, like, I've never been like, oh, my sinuses, you know, because I know the sinuses can really get you all up in here and then you can get a headache and stuff like that. I don't really get headaches like that or in my face never feels like, you know, clogged up in the sinus-like. Because I thought it might have been the sinus issue early on, so I was taking Sudafed. And, like, because I would ask people, she's like, yeah, it was my sinuses. I would get dizzy. And I was like, oh. So I was trying Sudafed, but none of that worked.
Do you have any idea what it is? It's come back, though.
Nope. Every time I think I got a bead on it, I'm like, oh, it was this. And then it'll come back, and I'll be like, I thought it might have been my vitamin D. Got my vitamin D right, still get it. You know, I thought it was, it's definitely connected to my ear, but... You know, and people always say it's vertigo, but I'm like, what causes vertigo? Like, you know, it's always that. So, and then I think it's salt related, you know, because if I have like something that's heavy in salt, I'll get like woozy a little bit, you know. So then I thought I nailed that, you know. And then now, you know, I don't really eat like salty stuff like that. And it still comes on occasion. So I'm just like, what is it? That's the annoying part, like not knowing. If I know what causes it, and they'd be like, all right, you got to stick with this the rest of your life, but this is what causes it. I'd be like, all right. Now I know what to avoid, what to look out for, what's going to cause it. But not knowing, so annoying. It's frustrating, man. I'd be wanting to cry, man. I'd be like, man, especially for the bad ones, I'd just be like, because the helplessness of it all, you just be like, man, I just got to take it. Especially if I lose work because of it. Oh, forget it. I'm done.
When's the last time it happened to you?
I was woozy today. Oh. Right before we did this, I was like, but it was a light one. It was light work. Like the last bad one was April 15th. Oh, Jesus. That was the worst one I ever had. And I was literally sitting on the floor, and I just did a voiceover. And then I did my – one thing I always do, since my ear acts up all the time, I squeeze my nostrils together and blow. And it kind of, you know, opens your ears up a little bit. Yeah. So I did that. Right when I did that, I was like, oh, it hit me immediately. Sabrina walked in and I was just like, I'm not feeling good right now. She's like, oh, lay down. And I laid down, I staggered to the room, laid down, and then I started sweating. I threw up everything.
Wow.
Everything was like, I lost 7 pounds that night. Terrible. I was like, oh God, no. And then I forgot to even take the Meclizine I had in my bag. You know, that's for, you know, nausea and dizziness. It's for that. I forgot to even go over there because I'm not a medicine guy. And I was just...
I feel that. I will avoid medicine at all costs if I can.
And the thing about the Meclizine, I'll take it as a preemptive strike. Like if I'm doing a weekend in a certain city, I'll be like, I'm taking everything. I'll take all the pills before showtime just because I don't want to have an episode while the show is going on. So I'll be like preemptive McGee. Anybody that's been on the Keon see me with the pill, I'll be like in the green room or whatever, just as a preemptive. But at home, I don't do any of that because I'll be like, well, if anything happens, I'm going to just lay down and take it.
I always thought it was just vitamins. I didn't know what you was taking.
Yeah, it was like, it's vitamins, black seed oil, vitamin D pill just once a week for that. I would take a Meclizine just as a preemptive if I feel a little weird. And it was another one I was taking, and I'd just be like, boom. Yeah, just in case. And usually when I do the preemptive strikes on the road, I wouldn't have an incident. It's weird, man. I don't know.
I was like, Tony's an addict. He's popping pills. I was like, maybe he's popping Viagra. He wants to do the show fully. Man. I realized, as he said. He let the whole crowd get a good peep of this.
I took a Viagra-type pill one time.
I've never taken anything. I want to.
It was called Blue Chews. It was called Blue Chews. And it didn't work.
I've always wanted to try one just to see... what it does, like what?
Yeah,
like is it what they say? But then I heard if you take them, like it can mess up your how you are naturally.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've always been scared to take them because I'm ready to go McGee. So I was like, yeah. I'm getting older. I don't ever want to lose that. So I don't want to mess with it.
Yeah, I took one, man. I was like, let me try this, you know, because you know the we knew the threesome was gonna happen. So I was like, let me make sure, you know. Took one.
Such a dude move, though. Like, just to...
nothing changed. You know what I'm saying?
If you know it's going to happen, well, I got to make sure I'm on point.
Mm-hmm. But that's hilarious. Nothing happened.
I'm sure people want to hear more about that than you taking the pill. Your threesome? Like, you just dropped that.
Oh, yeah.
You didn't say anything. You're just like, yeah, at the threesome I get up to. I'm like, okay.
I forgot you didn't know, Maya, because Keon knew already.
Yeah, you see, I didn't budge. I was like, yeah.
Yeah. And I said it on stage. So I just assumed it was out there.
Oh, no. Well, I don't go to all your shows. I go to as many as I can, but I guess I missed this one.
No, I posted it on I post my stand-up clips. That was one of the jokes. Because the joke was I still had my shirt on. Because I was self-conscious. Well, I'll just leave my shirt on, guys, if that's okay.
We have a question from Michael James. He says, I graduated college 2 years ago, and I want to do two main things. Start a business and raise a family. I want to start a nonprofit in my city of Detroit so that it'll get the help that it needs. But I also want to raise my own family, something very near and dear to my heart, especially since it'll be my own. And he wants to get a chance to be the dad that he never had. I feel like doing both would take time away from the other, and I don't want to do that. I want your honest opinion about this. Take care and stay blessed, y'all. Much love.
Wait, what was the question?
Basically, he wants to start a nonprofit in Detroit, but there's not much money in that. And he also wants to start a family, which is going to take a lot of money and a lot of time. They're both going to take a lot of time.
Mm.
What should he do?
Hmm. I can't really speak on the nonprofit world because I don't know. I've never done anything like that, so I wouldn't know the work it takes. I'm sure it takes a lot of work and a lot of time, but I can't really speak on, you know, the nonprofit you know, game like that. But you know, a family. But I do feel like you can have a family and do other things. You know, I do feel like that can coexist. It's gonna be tough, of course, but I feel like you could do both. I feel like you don't always have to sacrifice something just to start a family.
Mm. Which is what most people say. And it's going to be small sacrifices, I guess. But I right. You know, I always go back to, you know, you need that village. You can do mm-hmm. what you want to do, but you do need the village. You need family member, the babysitter, the husband or wife. You need all that. To do what you really want to do, you need the village. Because it's hard. It's hard to give your all to stuff without some kind of help. But it's definitely possible. Yeah.
My friend just had a baby and she's like, do not have a baby until you're done doing everything you want to do because it's going to take up all of your time.
Is she by herself?
No, she has a husband.
Like, you know what, sometimes it's hard to... You know, obviously we give everything from a dad's perspective because we're dads. But when I hear mothers talk, it is a different... It's certain stuff that they carry with them that we just don't carry. Like, the reason why they feel like they never have time because they feel guilty if they do stuff for themselves and not giving all to the baby. And it's like, you don't have to give all to your kids. Like, I hear a lot of moms say, like, you know, we've talked about how moms be exaggerating. But it's like, because they feel this, like... I'm neglecting my kid, not because you went to get your nails. You're not neglecting your kid because you took an hour for yourself. That's why right. You have two parents in the home. Take a break. Leave them with dad for the day. Mm-hmm. Take a day off and don't feel bad about it. Your kids will be fine. They're fine if they don't have you at their beck and call for a while. They'll be fine.
Depends what dad does.
Yeah. If dad has time. But get on his ass. Like some of these dads, like I see a lot of, you know, wives complain about husbands or whatever doing nothing. Well, make them do. You're not putting that. You do it yourself or you take that guilt and you're like, well, I'll do it. But he here, too. He's supposed to be. It is a 50-50. He's supposed to be pulling his weight. A lot of
people be taking the L. They'll just be like, well, yeah. That's just how he is. No, that ain't how it's going to be. People like, that's just how he is. He don't do nothing. You can't allow that. You can't allow somebody to be sitting there not helping you. Because some people really just say, that's just who he is. He just doesn't do it. Like, well, he needs to.
Yeah. And a lot of times with dudes, it's like, it's not that he won't. It's just like, if he ain't got to, he gonna chill.
Right.
Most dudes are comfortable doing nothing. We like chilling. We like doing nothing. So a lot of dudes, husbands, boyfriends, whatever, if you don't consciously be like, yo, I need you to do this. Like most times, if I'm sitting last night, I was watching the Bulls thing, mm-hmm. and Kendrick said he wanted seconds, and Cotty was about to give him some like nuggets or something. But he had like spinach, rice, and chicken for dinner. So I was like, mm-hmm. nah, give him more of the spinach and rice. She was like, well, I don't want to recut it up. I was like, okay, then I'll do it. So I got up off the couch and did it because she just didn't feel like it. And I was like, that's fine. I'll do it. But had she never said, well, then you do it, I'd have been like, I ain't moving. Like, so sometimes you got to be like the husbands, they'll do. Dads will do. I mean, obviously there's some dads who are just naturally more, I want to make all the kids lunches and read them books. And I want to do. Some guys are like that. But most of them be like, unless you give me a little kick, I'm just going to be sitting on my
put the foot
ass.
On the neck.
Yeah,
put the foot on the neck.
Some of these dads work like 12-hour days. I know in the industry, some dads are gone for weeks at a time. They just get a job on a movie, and then they're gone for a show.
I mean, hell, I've been gone weeks at a time.
That's facts.
I've been gone weeks at a time. But, yeah. But, I'll put the extra effort in when I'm here or whatever. But, like, I just wish moms, and I know it's probably nothing they can do about it, but I wish they wouldn't carry that guilt.
I see it a lot.
They're fine. I left them with my mom for the weekend. Okay.
You're doing a great job. Yeah. They just be panicking in their own minds.
They just be kicking their own ass all the time. And it's like, you're fine.
So if they don't breastfeed them one time, they think the baby's going to turn into
a
bummer.
Yeah, they be like, I'm failing as a parent. It's like, no, you're not. Mm-hmm. Like, you are allowed to do stuff for you. You are allowed to take a break. You are allowed to just let them do their own thing sometimes. You know, it's just, it's fine. They're fine. And they're going to turn your back on you anyway. Like, kids, I feel like, obviously kids need us, right? Like, that's a given. But I think parents think they need us more. We don't give them enough credit of stuff they can either do by themselves, or they don't want us around sometimes, or they don't. Like, when I walked in the other day, it was like, hey, what y'all playing? And Keelan was like, get out. It's like, why am I going to sit here feeling guilty for not playing with them? They didn't even want me around.
Right.
So I'm not going to sit there and sulk like, oh, you know, I'm not giving them all my energy. Sometimes they don't want my energy. And that's fine. They do their thing, I do mine, then we do stuff as a family. Like, you can take breaks and stuff for yourself.
And that's like even me feeling guilty because the boys got older and it's like, you know, I wouldn't see them as much. And I'd be like, y'all good, y'all good? Like, we good. And I'd be like, all right. So I would just, you know, I would feel that guilt on that tip because just because we're not under the same roof. Mm-hmm. So, but if we was under the same roof, I would have much less guilt because, you know, I'm right here. Whatever y'all need, I'm right here. I'm downstairs. But when they're in a different house, you know, on the other side of town, it's just like, you're good.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
So Michael James should not worry about starting a nonprofit.
I mean, I don't know nothing about a nonprofit.
I don't know nothing about the nonprofit game like that, but I do feel like, I just feel like you can have a family and go for something else simultaneously.
I think when people think family, they think, I got to be here all the time and I got to do everything. Yeah. And it's like, you don't. You're gonna miss a thing or two. You know, it's gonna happen. You can do your best to be there, you know. And like I said, and the attention span of kids too, they might want you for an hour or two, and then they tap it out.
And you can take your kids a lot to your work, whatever you're doing. You just bring the kids, and then, because you see stories all the time, like, yeah, my dad used to always take us to the film set or to the concert or to the backstage. Then I kind of got into it myself. Yeah. You hear stories like that all the time. Like, so.
Again, I don't know if you could do that at a nonprofit, but I know, you know, Tony has seen, you know, y'all see my kids on the podcast. Tony has seen it when we shot our special. The kids was. Okay, Keelan and Kendrick grabbed the mic, got on stage. Mm-hmm. Like they be with it. I bring them along with me all the time. And that's still quality time. I think people think too, quality time is a certain thing. If you go to the store, sometimes I'll be like, I'm going to the store, and Keelan be like, I want to come. All right. We just going to the store. But that's still quality time. He's still hanging out. The little chats you have in the car, the little chats you have, you know, when you're in the store, when they see something they like, you know, it's so much little stuff that goes on. You don't have to beat yourself up over not doing any and everything all the time. Right. The little stuff, sometimes Kendrick sat on me today and he just wanted to sit on me while we watched TV. I wasn't doing nothing. But he's just like, but I'm chilling with my dad. And that's it. You don't have to, I think people put in their minds, like, you know, they beat themselves up just way too much as parents. Like, you're doing fine.
Yeah. We have one more question. This is from Kendrick Brown Jr.
Kendrick, great name.
Kendrick Brown Jr.
He says, I have a problem when I get on stage. I start having hiccups and I can't stop. Do you have any advice?
Take Viagra, man. That's just my advice for everything. I have nothing doing nothing. Viagra, clearly.
Man, hiccups?
I don't know.
Man, I ain't had hiccups in years.
You take a straw and you drink and you plug your ears? Have you tried that?
I don't know. I don't really get hiccups like that.
Man, I used to just drink water and that was fine.
Yeah, drink water real fast and it would go away.
You never had hiccups that don't stop? They just don't stop?
I don't think so. I don't remember. I'm sure I did, but not as an adult and not on stage or anything like that. Like stage, I don't.
I haven't had the hiccups in years.
Like I get his nervousness with the hiccups. So I got nothing for that.
I always thought water did the trick, man. Every time I had hiccups growing up, boom, water, and then I was good.
Remember when people would be like, you got to put the paper towel over the water and drink it. The remedies people would have for hiccups. You got to get scared. You got to go outside, tap a tree.
I heard the scare. Yeah.
You got to go outside, pee on a tree. All right. Rub it real fast. tab it on your throat, you stop the hiccups. Like, it's always some crazy ass remedy. I don't even know what the hiccups really are. What is that from? What is that?
I don't know. I know if you drink too much, sometimes you get the hiccups. Let's see.
I never knew what they were.
It says causes eating too quickly or swallowing air along with foods.
I definitely irritation eat fast. Of the
diaphragm. But you don't get them, so.
Yeah.
But as a kid, I used to
get them a lot.
Down and, yeah, and oh. It's probably from that.
Yeah, it says irritation of the diaphragm can do it.
Because I know Keelan, I can't remember him having hiccups, but Kendrick's had it a few times, but he eats rapidly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he stuffs his mouth, he eats fast. I'm like, slow down, bro. So that makes sense why he's got them more than... Because he had them, like, a couple weeks ago. And he don't get it often, but I was like, I don't remember Keelan really having the hiccups.
So I wonder why Kendrick Brown is getting these just stage-induced, like nerve-induced hiccups is wild.
Well, it says on WebM or Mayo Clinic, the irritation of the vagus nerve or phrenic nerves, which serve the diaphragm muscle. So maybe it is a nerve thing.
I ain't never heard of the nerves, by the way.
The
I ain't never heard of the nerves.
I didn't know what they were either.
Well, all right. Yeah, but even though that's what it is, what is your body doing?
Why did that?
Yeah, why are you like what? Why is yeah? Why is
like
that
what's happening there? You know what I mean?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know why that happens. Just that it happens.
Yeah,
sometimes it hurts too.
Yeah, like
you
get
it hard. You're like, oh Jesus,
man. And let me tell y'all something. When I had that bad dizzy spell on April 15th, I was so relieved that the throw up was smooth. Like, cause you know when you get those painful ones, when it comes, you like, oh God, it's like you get stabbed in the chest. I was thankful that everything was. I don't know if it's because I've been drinking a lot of water, so it was like a smoother. But man, the relief. Because those chest stab ones, you'd be like, please, take me now.
Or the ones you contract so much, your abs are sore the next day.
Oh.
Like, those are the... Like, when I got seasick on that cruise, my throw-ups were smooth as hell.
Man.
Like, it was no ab soreness, no chest soreness, no... I would just be like, oh, I got to do it again. I would go in there,
man.
And then go lay down.
Continue. The relief after, like, when you get a good one, you'd be like... Yeah.
I'm so calm with that stuff now. It's just like when I was throwing up on the ship, I would get out of bed. I was like, and I would just lean over the toilet, do it, and then lay back down. Like, I'm so, when it comes to, you know, I'm not the baby when it comes to, you know, the sickness. Some people are like, take care of me. I just be like, damn it. Like, the last time they seen me sick, we had a game night. I just did the game night. I was in the corner shivering.
That's the only difference. The only difference in Keon's behavior was that he wasn't hanging out in the kitchen like he normally does. He was on the long piece of the couch leg. He was sitting there like Professor X. He just be watching the mutants move around. He's sitting there.
I was still, because Cotty was like, we should cancel that. I was like, we doing the game night. I've committed.
We're not canceling.
I was so calm. But actually, by the time everybody left, I was feeling so much better. It was a 24-hour bug. It was so weird. I caught it before everybody came over, and it probably left like right after everybody was in there. It was hella weird. Mm-hmm.
Those are super weird.
Yeah.
It'd be like, that never happened.
As far as Kendrick, man. But at least you keep getting up. And hey, the worst you could do right now, I mean, the best thing you could do right now is you get up there, you get the hiccups, use it, put it in your act.
You definitely got to write a joke about it.
Write the
jokes.
That's
what I would do.
Use them. Use the hiccups. What do you say on fire?
So every time I get a stage, guys, I get, get these hiccups and then just go from there. Turn it into gold. And then if they disappear, then all right, cool.
Mm-hmm. But it might become a thing where you're not nervous no more.
Right.
Once you start using it.
And then that way the hiccups won't hinder you from getting the stage time you need.
Yeah. And it won't take away from what you're trying to do. If people get it, like, okay, he gets the hiccups, it might become a running thing that they laugh at, but it's not going to take away from the jokes that you're telling.
Right.
Maybe visualize and meditate as well. You picture yourself up there, it'll become more normal.
Just keep getting up there. That's my advice. That's always my advice. Just keep getting up.
Oh, you got to keep getting
up. Just keep getting up. It'll all work itself out if you just keep getting up there.
That's interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, Kendrick, I hope this goes away for your sake and for the sake of your career. That's it for questions.
All right, y'all. That's another episode of Daddy Issues. Make sure if you got any questions for us, ask us in the YouTube comments section. We'll tackle them on the show. Want to thank Maya for giving us the topics. And you can find us at home on the internet. You know where you usually find us. That's where we still at, because no shows are coming. Yeah, where you at, Kia?
Yeah, same stuff. And my special's out. So, like, it's just the same shit. My special's out. Get it. For those of you who've got it already, thank you so much. And thank you for the reviews. I appreciate it.
All right, y'all. Until next time, we out here.
Bye.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.